We serve an awesome God. Family, your family is in his care as well. And somebody said amen. We serve an awesome God. I'm so glad I know who he is, that I get to be here, that you are here. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We have classes that have been up here. They're getting ready to go downstairs. Oh, they're staying up today. My apologies. I misunderstood that. Classes are staying upstairs today. Somehow I missed the memo. So while you're up here, grab your Bibles, if you would. Open it to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. We're going to find the second chapter. When you have opened your Bibles to Luke, chapter 2, scroll down there until you find verse number 25. Luke 2 and 25. Some of you might have remembered at the last several services, our computer system would lose its mind every few moments. The screen would go blank. A blue screen of death would replace it for a moment. Then mysteriously it'd all come back up. That was frustrating to say the least. And so we have installed a new system, and we are still working the bugs and kinks out and getting used to it. And as a result, I do have what I can see on the back wall. It's dedicated for me. It's not quite what you'll see. But unfortunately, there's something wrong with it, and it's only occupying a third of the space it needs to. So I can't actually see it, which means I have a clock back there, but I can't see it. So we're just, you know, winging it as far as time goes. So... we'll just be okay. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, his day of dedication, by the way, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. I'm going to stop right there. He said, I was waiting for that right gift, waiting for the perfect gift. God said, I would get the perfect gift. And he did. If you'd set your Bibles down for a moment, let's ask the Lord to have his way. Just touch our hearts, open our minds to him. This morning, would you do that? Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house. Lord, we ask that you have your way. The remainder of our time together, Lord, move with your Spirit to touch us, Lord. Let us come to an understanding of who you are, what you have for us, Lord. The gifts, Lord, that you have waiting for us, Lord. I pray your blessing on everyone that is here, Lord. Let your hand be upon them. Spirit, touch us, Lord. Reveal to us in your Spirit, Lord, the good things you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Turn around to two people near you. Give them a high five or a handshake or a fist bump if you're sick. Say, hey, God's got a gift for you. It is the perfect gift. The perfect gift. Today is December 8th. We are less than 3 weeks away from Christmas, just a few days more than 2 weeks away. So I'm sure everybody in here is relaxed, comfortable. You've got all your shopping done. And you don't have to fight the crowds and the stores, and you're ready to go forward. You're excited for Christmas, right? How many is excited for? I noticed all the young ones' hands went up immediately. Yes! So I'm just curious, since, Christmas, and we got our Christmas dinner tonight. How many of you, when you were younger especially, and you'd see the presents out, first of all, How many had presents out before the day of Christmas? How many of you grew up with presents being out there? Okay. How many of you, when you would see the presents out there, were tempted to go shake them? How many of you thought, you know, if I'm really careful and I start peeling up this edge here where the tape is a little loose, I might get an idea of what's in. How many peekers in it? Wow. No wonder y'all got so much coal. No, I'm just kidding. There's something about this idea of waiting for something. Yeah, if you were like my kids, my wife would hand them the catalog, and there would be all kinds of pages with scribbles on them, circles around items, dog-eared pages with the idea of, this is what I'd like for Christmas. This is what I'm hoping, and of course it would be far more than we were ever going to get. And they said, that's okay, just surprise me, but one of these 27 things. Or, you know, 10 or 12 of those 27 things. And then there was this intense anticipation as they waited for Christmas morning to arrive to see if we actually fulfilled that. If that was what was waiting for them, or perhaps we saw something else, or perhaps it would be stuff that was more useful, like, you know, clothes, socks, shoes. Let me ask you a quick question, just out of curiosity. It has nothing to do with my message, but how many got just as excited, all you adults now, how many of you got just as excited for clothes as you did for toys? If you got excited for clothes, raise your hand. How many was like it was toys or nothing? I understand. I get it. I have to be honest. I always appreciated clothes. And I'm not saying that because Dad's not here, so, you know, he's not here to hear me. I did always appreciate the clothes, but I got to be honest. It was the new BB gun, pellet rifle. It was the new games. Those are the things that got me the most excited. I have to be honest and admit that. And I suppose for all of us, there is a certain excitement and anticipation over the right thing. We want a certain thing, and sometimes we get almost a little too intense waiting for it. Sometimes it leads us to peek, to shake, to rattle, to roll, hoping to find that perfect item. I found some letters from kids written to Santa. I love the honesty the kids sometimes have. I say sometimes. Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. I had some friends who probably would have written that one. Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. An Etch-a-Sketch, two packs of number two pencils, Crayola fat markers, and the big gift, my own color TV. Well, maybe you could drop the pencils. I don't want to be selfish. It's that anticipation of the gift longed for. You've waited. There is that mysterious package wrapped, a bow, and you're waiting for the moment when the word is you can open it. And the bows go flying and the ribbon is torn and the paper is shredded as we anticipate anxiously grabbing, looking for that long-awaited Xbox or phone or camera or bike or whatever else it is. Parents, sometimes we give in too much and find ourselves in the midst of a stressful time because we're too worried about, did I get the right Cabbage Patch doll? Did I get the right limited edition Star Wars Xbox game system? Sometimes we get a little too wrapped up in that ourselves. But we understand there is an anticipation that goes along with that Christmas morning. And the problem with it is that sometimes, in fact, probably too much of the time, the gifts and the anticipation and the commercialization have overwhelmed our sense of what the season is all about. If I could be so, as Alex put it, cliched, the perfect gift this season is not going to be under the tree or on the hearth or in a stocking or waiting out in a driveway with keys in it. The perfect gift has already been given. The perfect gift is the one that Simeon and Anna were waiting for. They had the right idea. The Bible says that he was a just and a devout man. The other young lady, not young, this older lady by the name of Anna, she has served God for many long years. She became a widow at a young age, and from that moment on, she served in the temple, giving her time to God. They were both waiting for the perfect gift that God had promised that they would see it. Now, it was not going to be fulfilled in their day, but they would see the beginning of this perfect gift. There is an anticipation in them. It is a waiting with expectation. In fact, that's what the word in Greek actually means when it says they were waiting. They were looking with a certain expectation. They had been coming for weeks, months, or perhaps years, looking for the appearance of that perfect gift. Simeon had heard the word from God. God had somehow spoken to him and said, "You're not going to die until you receive that perfect gift that I have longed to give." And I suppose when he was 40, when he heard that, there was a youthful exuberance about that. I'm going to see the gift of God. I'm going to see that perfect thing. I'm going to see the consolation for Israel. I'm going to see everything God has promised. It's going to happen in my lifetime. I'm going to see it. I have no doubt that in that excitement, having been being in the temple, he seems to be a priest, having been in prayer, and maybe it was even in the holy place itself when God spoke to him, and he came out and said, "I've got an answer from God. I'm going to see the Lord's Messiah. I am going to, with my own eyes, see the Messiah." And I have no doubt many people said, you know, everybody says that. Everybody wants to see the Messiah. Everybody says he's going to show up, but everybody's been wrong. Generations had come and gone. Some even claimed to be the Messiah, only to be proven horribly wrong. They had longed for it. They'd prayed for it. This is what they had been seeking for countless generations, that the Messiah would show up and make everything right. When you read the prophecy, he talked about restoring Israel, bringing healing and deliverance, salvation to the nation. To the world, but they could only focus on the nation part. But they were highly anticipating that moment when the Messiah, the one promised, this perfect gift from God would show up. It was the dream of their lives to be there when Messiah arrived. The sad thing is, when he does arrive, the vast majority of them are going to miss it. They're not going to recognize him. He's going to be in their midst and they won't see him. John would describe it this way in his gospel. He came into his own, and his own received him not. The gift they were waiting for, so many of them missed entirely. But I will tell you, not Simeon and not Anna. They had been waiting for long years for that moment that Messiah would show up, be in their courts, in their temple, in their city. They were looking for the moment. As the years went by, I wonder if their faith waned a little bit here and there. I wonder if the prayer turned from, "God, I'm so excited to see the Messiah," to, "Lord, are you really going to let me see the Messiah?" Did it go from, "I can't wait," to, "I'm not sure I'm going to see it. I'm getting old." We realize that both Simeon and Anna are now of a greatly advanced age. They have been waiting for years. But the wording seems to imply that their excitement and their anticipation has not waned over the years. While others might have given up, while others would have said, "I don't have time to wait here with you anymore," Simeon and Anna had continued to wait, believing, hoping that the moment would arrive that Messiah would show up in their city. See, I understand about waiting. We wait. We wait for Christmas morning. Especially when we're children. It was crazy. Nowadays, from December 1st to December 25th, I would almost believe that somebody has stolen 14 days out of the calendar. Because it all happens way too quick. It goes by in a flash. I keep promising to do my Christmas shopping, and all of a sudden it's December 22nd, and I'm not done. No, not this year, hopefully, by God's grace. There's something about it as we get older, the time seems to, in these moments, flow by quicker and quicker. However, when you are greatly anticipating a thing, the moments seem to creep by. I can remember when I was a child, waiting for Christmas. It seemed like an eternity. From December 21st to December 25th. An eternity. Well, for that matter, just the last 10 minutes on a school day seemed like an eternity too. We got out at 3:50. From 3:40 to 3:50 seemed like time slowed down. We watched the clock. Click. Click. Are you sure that was only a second? It felt like five or six. Time seemed to go slow. There was an anticipation. The moment the school bell rang, everybody was out the door. Teachers knew better to stand in front of the doorway. The stampede is about to happen. Get out of the way. Kids are like that on a Christmas morning. Parents, you've been up till 3 a.m. putting batteries, wrapping, making sure everything worked. And at 5 a.m., is it Christmas morning? Is those little eyes peer over the edge of the bed? You're like, no, it's not. It's not at all. It won't be Christmas morning till at least 10 a.m. You know, sometimes they'll sit in the floor waiting those 5 hours. Don't ask me how I know. Don't ask me. Anyway, I'm just kidding. It's anticipation. When it gets closer and closer, it feels as if it might not arrive. But surely, the moment will happen. Listen, we understand about this idea of anticipation. Because from the moment we came to God, repented of our sins, were baptized in His name, we were told there's going to come a greater moment when our Lord is going to arrive and catch away His church. And I know for many, we've said to ourselves, we've wondered, is it ever going to happen? Is it really going to happen? Is He actually going to show up? Just as sure as He showed up the first time, He will show up the second time. Just as sure as He was born on December 25th, or whatever day it was, back then, He will again split the skies and come back to this earth. Just as real as His first arrival is His second arrival. Can I tell you, if you're waiting, anticipating the moment that He's going to come back and catch the church away, I can promise you this, just like He showed up the first time, He will show up the second time. It is going to happen. You can keep on waiting. You can keep on praying. You can keep on looking for Him. It will take place. He is returning for His own. It's amazing, out of all of those that might have heard about the birth of Messiah. In fact, I would have thought that there would have been a great crowd in the temple that day. I mean, let's go back and realize what has taken place. Shepherds have seen an angelic choir and heard them sing the glory of God. They've heard there was one born in a stable. Now realize this is 8 days after all that took place. They went through the town proclaiming His birth. The Messiah has been born. He's in Bethlehem, the city of David. Yet for those that heard, they didn't show up. There was a star that shone brightly over the place where He lay. No doubt its brightness caught people's attention. Seemed like the stars hung lower than ever in that moment. Something miraculous and marvelous was taking place. And yet, on the day that whatever was born, whoever was born would have been dedicated, there was nobody in the temple waiting for the moment. Except for Simeon and for Anna. All of those that had been there. Perhaps when the manager of the inn said, I'm sorry, I have no room. You can use the stable. And people watched the star hang low overhead. For all of those that heard the shepherd's excited proclamation, perhaps rousing them from sleep, as they ran through the streets shouting, we've seen the Messiah. He is born this day in the city of David. None of them showed up. I don't know if it took too long, that week of waiting. I don't know if it was a story they'd heard long before. Oh, we've always heard about there's going to be a Messiah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've heard it all before. But for those that were waiting for Him, He showed up. They were looking, waiting for the perfect gift. There He was. The man Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. He was just, he was devout, he was waiting, expecting the consolation, the comfort of Israel. He said, I've heard it, it's going to happen. He said, I believe it will happen. He came to the temple day after day waiting for that moment that Messiah would be there. And it happened one moment. He walks in and there he is. He's in the arms of his mother. And something comes over Simeon. He goes and he takes her, takes him and he picks him up out of his mother's arms. And the word of prophecy comes over him and the Spirit of God begins to move through him. He said, Lord, you can let your servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. He is the light to the Gentiles. He's the glory to your people. This is the answer we waited for. A light and a glory. Comfort for everybody that wants it. This is what we've waited for so long. Simeon said, I've seen it. I've seen it. My days are done. My race is run. I have become to that very moment. God brought me to it. He did not fail me. He did not leave me. There he is. The Messiah is in my own arms. You keep on waiting. Keep on anticipating. Show up to the temple day after day. Come to the house of God every time you get a chance. Why? Because there's going to be a moment when he shows up. Yeah, I understand. He's going to show up in a service with his spirit. He's going to move. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there in the midst of them. We understand that. We felt his presence already in worship. Yes, he shows up every time we gather for service. But that's not the showing up I'm talking about. What I'm saying is if you keep living for God, you keep doing what's right, you keep coming to the house of God, you keep holding on by faith to the promise, there's going to come a moment when a trumpet is going to sound. The eastern sky is going to split and all of those in Christ are going to rise to meet him in the air. If there's a moment that's going to happen, why? I'm going to keep on showing up. Did it happen yet? No, but I'm going to go anyway. Has it happened yet? No, but I'm going to go to the house of God anyway. Has it happened yet? No, but I'm going to keep on praying. Has it happened yet? No, but I am not giving up. He showed up the first time. He'll show up the second time. I refuse to give up. There is a moment when he will arrive. He's my salvation. He's my consolation. He's the glory of God over my life. Simeon showed up. I don't know if he was there every day, but I think he was there quite often. It was his want. It was his need. He was a priest, probably, most likely. Most feel that he was. Probably retired. And he would show up. Imagine him telling his wife, if she were still living, where are you going to, Simeon? You're 84. Going to the temple. Why? You're retired. Well, the Lord said that I was going to see the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. This might be the day. I don't want to miss it. I don't know if he was there all day, part of the day. But the Bible says that he was looking. It implies an ongoing looking forward to, an ongoing search, that he showed up at the temple every day with the thought in his mind, this might be the day that a couple's going to come walking in and Messiah is going to be here. Now, I don't know if he expected it to be a baby, a grown man. All I know is this. He said, I believe that one day I'm going to walk in the temple and there the Messiah will be in front of me. There's going to come a day when Messiah will be in my temple. And it happened. Can I tell you, if you get up every morning, this could be the day. I don't know if it'll happen while I'm having breakfast, maybe on my drive to work, maybe while I'm having coffee, maybe while I'm on my way home, maybe while I'm in the middle of my work, maybe as I lay myself down to sleep, but there's going to come a day when the Messiah is going to show up. Just as sure as he showed up for Simeon, he will show up for me. Simeon said, I've seen it. I'm ready to go. There is, and sometimes the way I preach this, it's almost a negative towards Simeon. Simeon says, I've seen him, let me die. And I suppose if you want to take that a negative, you can. But this morning, perhaps I would say it this way. Simeon was waiting, convinced that the Messiah would show up. There was a dedication to his life that said, I refuse to quit until I've seen the Messiah. I would encourage you and I to develop that same kind of mentality. That says, I refuse to give up. It's only a matter of time. The Messiah will show up. My perfect gift will arrive. It's only a matter of time. It will be here. I refuse. I am waiting for the answer that I've looked for, and I refuse to give up. But there was another person there that morning. It was a woman by the name of Anna. The Bible says that she had served in the temple for many years. From the moment her husband died at a young age, she dedicated herself to fasting and praying in the temple. In fact, the Bible says she never left the temple. Now, I don't know if that means she slept there. There were those that could, who worked at the temple. Or if it meant that she was there day after day. You can take it how you would like it. But Anna comes in, as her normal course was, and she comes in as Simeon is making the proclamation over the baby Jesus. She hears the words that he says. This is the light of the Gentiles. This is the glory of your people Israel. This is the Messiah. This is God's gift of salvation to mankind. And something comes over Anna. And she does what she does not normally do. Now remember, both Simeon and Anna are of advanced age. I'll let you decide what advanced age means. I don't want to throw out a number and offend anybody, so I'll let you decide what advanced age means. How many knows what advanced age is? Somebody said 200. Not quite that old. How many say 90 is an advanced age? If you're 88, you might not think so, but okay. My dad tells me 90 is not that old. He's 88. He'll be 89 in a few months. Whatever you think advanced age is, Simeon has held on through his elder years waiting for the moment. Now he's recovered. I've seen it. It's going to happen. It's all taken care of. It's there. Anna, also of a great advanced age. Remember, she never left the temple. She came in to pray, to fast. She seemingly perhaps lived there. But when she came in and she saw and heard the words of Simeon, in that instant she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. That's Luke 2:38. Anna, who had spent her days never leaving the temple, is suddenly compelled to walk out of the temple and find anybody who's looking for redemption. Jesus, are you looking for something? Yes, I need God to help me. I've seen it. Are you looking for something? Yes, I've been sick in my body. The answer's here. Are you looking for something? She says, I'm going to find anybody that's looking for the answer in life, looking for redemption, looking for deliverance, looking for a way out. And I can tell him, I've seen him. He's right there in the temple right now. Oh, he's a little baby, but he's already here. The answer is here. Anybody that's looking for the answer, he's in the temple. Anybody that's looking for a miracle, he's in the temple. Anybody that's looking for the fact that God is true, he's in the temple. If you're looking for it, he's here. Can't imagine what it's like to have a little old lady come up to you and go, are you looking for something? Well, I didn't think so. Redemption is here. If you want to find him, he's in the temple. Now, most of us would have said, poor thing. Bless her heart. She's gotten a little too old. I think there was a youthful exuberance about Anna that said, I can't keep still and I can't keep quiet. I found the one. I saw him. He's here. He's here right now. I cannot just keep quiet about this thing. I can't just act like nothing has happened. I can't just act like it's just normal every day like I've been doing. No, the answer is here. I heard the words. He is the light of the Gentiles. He's the glory of God's people, Israel. This is what we've waited for. This is the miracle we've longed for. He is here. There's an exuberance that said, I will tell everyone I can. From this, can I tell you what God's gift should do in our lives is cause us to be dedicated and to tell everybody we can about who he is. I challenge you this Christmas that the perfect gift is probably not one you can put a bow and wrapping paper around. In fact, it's not even one you can buy. It's one the Lord provided a long time ago. He's the perfect gift for your life. He's the consolation, the light, and the glory that you need in your life. But he also ought to be the impetus to your life that tells you, I've got to tell somebody else about him. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I got to find anybody I can that's looking for redemption and tell them God is here. The answer is here. Do you realize the answer is here? Jesus is already here. He has, and he is everything you need. Whatever you need. Maybe you've been looking for a long time. He's here. Maybe you've needed an excitement, a joy, a spark in your life. He's here. Whatever you need, he is here. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to stand. The heads bowed. This season, we can get so caught up in looking for things that we forget about the one who has the answer. The answer is not going to be found at the clearance section of Walmart. You're not going to find it online at Amazon. The answer is right here. In the house of God, just like it was that day for Simeon and Anna. It's God's salvation, deliverance, healing, consolation. He wants to be the answer to your life. Heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment. If you are looking for an answer, if you're looking, waiting for the perfect gift, I would tell you that he's already here. He was here when you got here. He's here to bring deliverance. He's here to bring the answer to what you need. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are and find your way to this altar, this front, and say, Lord, I've been looking. Somehow I forgot you're the perfect gift. Lord, I've been looking for an answer, and I forgot, Lord, that you are the answer. You're the peace. You're the joy. You're the strength. You're the deliverance. You're the glory of God in my life. You're a light for my dark days. Will you come right now? Will you come right now and say, Jesus, here I am, Lord. You're the gift that I'm looking for. You're the perfect answer to where I am. This is your moment right now to experience what Simeon and Anna experienced. A meeting moment with the Messiah where all of your answers become clear. Where his power begins to move through your life. Would you come right now? Come right now.